All right, let's just pray as we open the Word this morning. Thank you, Father. Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for your Word, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your Word is life, Lord. We thank you for the life that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, we open ourselves, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful time of worship, Lord, the sense of your presence. And, Father, I pray, Lord, that you speak to each and every one of us today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we're your children, Lord. What a wonderful acknowledgement that is, Lord, to be the children of the living God, Lord. And, Father, we just pray that you speak to us now in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, as you all know, our theme for the year is radical love, and our theme and main scripture we've been looking at, Ephesians 5:2, it says to live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. And so hopefully we've all got that one, that we're on about living a life of love, and in the same measure of that is just as Christ loved us and gave up himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And so we want to talk about that, the continuation of that. So far we've looked at different aspects of radical love. We've looked at the fact about it being a covenantal kind of love. We've talked about being the sacrificial kind of love. We talked not that long ago about not having any fear, that there's no fear in love, that as Christians, fear is not a part of our life. There's no fear in love. We talked about being selfless, what it is to be to love ourselves, what it is to love ourselves. Because we need to be able to love ourselves, but exactly what that means, we talked about that. And if you missed any of these messages, because we're following a theme all the way through, if you missed any of that, get on the website and listen to the messages so you don't miss out. Today I want to talk about being selfless. And it was important to talk about loving ourselves before we got onto selfless. Then there's a context and there's a background to that. So if you missed that, make sure you find out all about it. But I want to talk about living a selfless life. Remember, we said that a life of sacrifice, and we talked about sacrifice. We said that sacrifice was living for the kingdom of God, that we live for the extension of God's kingdom, that we don't live for our own purposes, but we live that the kingdom of God may be advanced. And so we saw that that sacrifice component of love was really to do with that, about having that life that was for the kingdom. But when I talk about being a selfless person, to live a selfless life, I want to talk about that in context of living a life that is for others. So sacrifice is to do with living for the kingdom, but a selfless life is to do with living for others. And that's what I really want to talk about this morning, about living a life for others. It tells us in the scripture, it's quite strong about doing that, about Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, it says this. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing for yourself. Nothing that you're going to benefit for. Don't do it for your own sake. Do nothing out of that selfish ambition, that it's just purely for yourself. Now, we do need to look after ourselves. I've said that. And we need to love ourselves. And we've talked about all those things. So remember, there is a context as we're talking about these things. We still need to take time out. Every now and again, we've got to kick the axe sharp. The scripture tells us, Ecclesiastes, if you keep using that axe and you never sharpen it, it's going to become blunt. So we need to take time out. We need to have a break. We need to have holidays. We need to do all those things. Those things are fine, and they're a part of keeping us sharp for the purposes of God's kingdom. But I'm talking about a focus here, about having a life that is focused upon ourselves rather than focused on God as a life of sacrifice, and others is that selfless life. It says, do nothing. And so we've got to always look at our life and say, Lord, I want to live this selfless life. And I'm sure if I was to ask you to put your hands up, I'm not going to, but I was to ask you, how many of you want to learn to live a selfless life, even as Christ did? I'm sure every one of us would put our hands up. We'd all want to be able to live this selfless life. And it's such an important part of being a Christian, is to live a selfless life. 1 Corinthians 13:5, when it talks about love, and remember, we're talking about this radical love, one of the very things that encapsulates love, one of the things that is a part of the heart of love, is to have a heart that, it says in 1 Corinthians 13:5, it's just talking about love. It says it's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's a contradiction to say that you're a loving person and to have a selfish heart, or to have things, always wanting things for yourself, your own comfort, your own benefit, your own satisfaction, your own happiness, your own wealth, your own prosperity, To have all those things, it's the antithesis, it's the opposite of love. It's not self-seeking, it's not about me. Now, we all know that song, and I think Shannon Noel resurrected it a few years ago. It's now an old song again. It was an old song before. But that song, "What About Me? What About Me? It isn't fair. I've had enough. I want my share. Can't you see? I want to live, but you take more than you give. What about me?" And that really is a cry of a generation. What about me? But that's the very antithesis of what we're talking about. It's the opposite of this radical love, because it's not about me. It's not about me. And if we say that we love God, and if we want to be a loving person, then we cannot live our life about ourselves. We want to, as we've already said, about living a life of love. We cannot live a life of love that's about me, about my happiness, about my satisfaction, about my comfort. It's the opposite of that. I can't do that. I can't even say, look, I love God with all my heart and not have a heart for other people. It doesn't add up. It doesn't gel. It's a contradiction, an oxymoron. It doesn't work that way. It can't happen. You can't say that we're loving and be selfish at the same time. It's the opposite thing. Romans 2:8 tells for people who are self-seeking, it says this about them. It says, but for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. For those who are self-seeking, the world are all about themselves. It's all about, what about me? You know, what about me? And but if we live like that, and if that's our life, because as I said, we can't embrace God if we live a selfish life, because we've rejected the truth, we're following evil, and there's a consequence, wrath and anger from that. It's the opposite of that. Now, we're all, for those that are Christians here today, which most of us are, then a selfless life is not something that we're called to. It's not just that we're called to do, it's actually something that will flow out of our life. I want to talk about how do we live this selfless life. Because it's very easy to be selfish at times. Hands up if you've ever been tempted to be selfish. Your hand's not up, you don't have any hands, or you're lying. We've all been tempted to be selfish. Very selfish if you're not putting your hands up right now. We all are tempted to be selfish. We are. We all find times where we just feel, oh look, do I really want to put myself out? Do I really want to be inconvenienced? Do I really want to do something? And you know, what about me? Sometimes we can think that way. It can rise up in our heart. Well, what about me for a change? Huh? What about me? But if we let that grab a hold of our life, it actually, as I said, it's the opposite of the kind of lifestyle that we had. We've got to have that good self-image, to know how much God loves us, to love ourselves in that healthy way we talked about. But not to be able to live a life where it becomes about me, but it really becomes about other people. So how do I do that? How do I live this selfless life? Because every one of us will have a tendency at times that we just want to make it about me, about myself. How do I live that kind of life? We're talking about living a life of love. And that if a part of that is to live a selfless life, well, how do I do that? How do I do that? How do I live my life? And at the end of your life, how would you like to be known? Would people like to, when they're talking about you at your funeral, maybe it'll be here, hopefully a long time away, but will they come and stand here and say, look, that they were a selfless person. They really lived a life of love. This person was a selfless person. I think every one of us would want that said about us, that we were a selfless person. Not a selfish person, not someone who lived for themselves, but really lived their life for others. How do we do that? How do we live that kind of life? It's interesting, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees were ones that very much had everything on externals. Their heart was very much about looking good and people having a high opinion of them. And so Jesus criticized them and said, you know, when you walk around the markets, you're there, you're very pious, religious, you've got your prayer tassels hanging off your robes and everything looks really good on the outside, but inside, there's something wrong on the inside. There's something wrong about your heart. When we're talking about love, we obviously need to be able to talk about heart. We're talking about what's deep within us. And Jesus challenged the Pharisees. He said this to them. He said, "Woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites." It's very cutting words, hypocrites. "You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." And so outside they look pretty good. It was a nice little religious veneer on the outside that looked pretty good, but inside, despite looking really good on the outside, fundamentally, Jesus was challenging them and saying, on the inside, there's this greed, this self-indulgence. It really is about you, Pharisees. That's what Jesus was saying. And he was really hanging it on them for that. Because they looked good on the outside, but deep down, it really was about them. So even the things that they were doing, even the things that they were doing in the name of God, even their service in the temple or whatever they were doing, at the end of the day, it was really about them. It was really about them, making them feel good about themselves because they're doing something positive. Or maybe they were getting respect from people, and then the Pharisees really, really liked that. Jesus really hung them on that, hung it on them for that as well, that they really wanted that appreciation and that respect and the accolades of men. But all this stuff looked good on the outside, but when push comes to shove, what was inside their heart? And says that they were full of greed and self-indulgence. Self-indulgence is the ultimate in selfishness. It's where everything is about yourself. It's to make yourself feel good and feel, have all this stuff that you need and feel satisfied and contented and all of those things. Seeking after that. Now, the scripture says if we seek God first, he'll give us everything that we need anyway. But this is where it's the wrong way, where that's the focus, is myself and getting things for myself. And God, well, maybe God might get a mention occasionally. Maybe on a Sunday, he might get to come in. All right, God, it's Sunday. If you come in, you come. But we're talking about a lifestyle of selflessness. And so it's not just trying to be more selfless. I can talk about this now. We can all go home and try to be more selfless. Now, that's good, because we want to live that lifestyle, but it's got to be a lifestyle. You can hear a sermon, and we talk about giving, and for 2 weeks, you're really good about tithing. Oh, yeah, look, I've let the Lord down. I know I'm supposed to be tithing. And so someone speaks about tithing, and for 2 weeks, you're in there. Yep, next week, here's my tithe, Lord, I bring it to you. And with a good heart, second week, maybe third week. And then after that, maybe that, oh, look, no, I missed Sunday. It doesn't matter. I missed church. I won't tithe this week. We can hear a sermon about sharing our faith, and for 2 weeks that we're there, we're looking for opportunities. We're looking for someone to share my faith with, because I heard a sermon and I was inspired by that. But it's got to be far, far more than that. We're talking about being the people that God has called us to be, and not for 2 or 3 weeks that we do something good and then we just forget about it. But we're talking about a lifestyle. And we're talking about a lifestyle of selflessness, about living for others. Because we can all do selfless things. Even the most rank unbeliever, if you like, can do something selfless, but it's something inside me and something that begins to affect the outside of my behavior. Pharisees had it all wrong. They always started on the outside. I'll do the right thing, look pretty good. Maybe people will think I'm okay, but inside, no, it's not really gelling on the inside. They had it back to front. And even as Christians, we can now try to, on the outside, I try to do some things, but it doesn't last. Anything that we try to bring externally into our life, it doesn't stick, it doesn't last. It's got to happen on the inside. It's what's on the inside that will begin to manifest itself on the outside. And that applies also in this whole area of selflessness. And so it's really important that we make sure that there's something within our heart, not that we're trying to look good. And just encourage you with that. Don't make the mistake of doing things to look good. In Matthew 6:1, it won't come up on the screen, but Jesus said, look, if you're going to do stuff, and then you go around and you tell everyone what you've done, and then, you know, oh yeah, look, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I did that. Jesus said, he says, that's your reward, guys. There's no reward in heaven now. You've had your reward. You've told everyone how wonderful you were and what you did, and what great sacrifice you did, and what it cost you, and whatever you put into it. Well, as soon as you tell everyone about it, there's no reward in heaven. It's gone. That was your reward. Other people thought, oh, good on you. Well done. But that's your reward. There's no reward in heaven. Whenever we do anything, the scripture says, don't let the left hand know what your right hand is doing in those areas. And so make sure that whenever we're doing stuff, don't do it that people all think, gee, that was really good of you. Gee, that was a selfless act. Because it counts for nothing in eternity when we do those things. But when we do everything with the right heart and the right motive, it counts, it counts. There is reward in heaven for that. In 1 Corinthians 13:3, in that wonderful passage of love, Paul writes this. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor, and I surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. that we can do many selfless acts. And on the outside, that looks pretty selfless to do that. But if our motive is wrong, if our heart is not right in that, then it doesn't count at all. It doesn't count. And we can do selfless things because we want to be seen to be a selfless person. I'm not saying I've ever met anyone like that. But I'm saying the Pharisees certainly were like that. They certainly fell into that trap of doing stuff to be seen to be doing stuff and then telling everyone what they were doing as a part of being seen to that. And the Lord said, look, that's rubbish. There's nothing in that. There's no benefit in that. It's really what is in our heart. And we're going to live a selfless life. It's got to be about what's inside of us. Not whatever show we can put on or whatever we do. It's what really is on the inside of us. It's our motive that is so important. God always looks to the motive of our hearts. As people, we tend to always look to externals. We tend to look at actions and behavior. But God looks right through those things. He always looks right inside the heart. He looks inside. What is your motivation for what you do? What really is deep within your heart? It was interesting when Booth, who was the General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, he was supposed to be speaking at a conference. He got really ill, particularly in his older years. In the 70s and 80s, he was had health problems. He was supposed to speak at a conference there, and he said, look, guys, I can't come. I'm just not well, but I'll send you what my message is. And so they were expected to receive this big message so they could read this whole thing out to everyone. All he did was send them one little word to them. He said, this is my message. It was just the word others. That's what it was all about. And sometimes we can get it wrong. It's not about others. We can think it's about us. And we've got to make sure we have it right. We've got to, when it's something, if we're doing something selfish, selfless, not selfish, but selfless, it means there's nothing that you're going to gain from it. There's nothing to be gained. The most selfless acts are ones that maybe even people don't even know about. No one's even going to hear about. Maybe no one's even going to acknowledge. No one's even going to say thank you for that because they don't even know that you did. They're the kind of things. There's nothing to be gained from that. There's not even a gratitude. People can't even be grateful because how can they be grateful because they didn't know what was done or who even did it. They're some of the most selfless things that we can do, things where there's no benefit, there's no advantage to us. And to live a life like that, not just to do the occasional selfless act, but to live a life of that. How do I actually do that? When sometimes all I want to do is just make it about me. Sometimes I want to sing, what about me? It isn't fair. And I won't be unfair to you by trying to sing it to you, that song. But sometimes we feel like that, but we want to live a lifestyle. What's inside us is really what it comes down to. And Galatians 2:20 is a very powerful scripture. And if we actually understood this scripture and it became a real reality in each of our lives, most of the stuff that is required of us, in fact all of the stuff that's required of us as a Christian, would just flow out of us if we grabbed a hold of us, because this is telling us that it's actually in us in the first place. Galatians 2:20, it says this: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Now, can you say that about yourself? I no longer live. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, that's here and now. That's not when I die and go to heaven. The life that I live right here, right now, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, this radical love that God's poured upon my life, and gave himself up with a sacrifice that always comes back to the cross. This life that I live now, it says, I live in faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself up for me, but I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Can you say that in your own life? I no longer live. Because Paul could say that. Not because Paul was some super spiritual superhero. Paul actually had a lot of weaknesses and things, the more you read about the life of Paul, but he had faith in God. He had his eyes upon the Lord. He understood the love of God and grabbed a hold of that in his life. And he was able to say, I no longer live. See, if you're dead, it's very easy to be selfless when you're dead. You got nothing to gain. I'm dead anyway, aren't I? And you see people make all sorts of sacrifices when they're in those sort of situations. You watch movies where, you know, the guy's there and, you know, he's been wounded, he's been shot and he's lying there and And all the rest of the guys have got to try to escape. He goes, just leave me, leave me. You know, I'm dead anyway. And he stays there and he holds off the enemy while the other people all run away. He's got nothing to lose. He's dead anyway. But do we live our life as a Christian? Look, I'm dead anyway. I'm dead to this world. It's not about me. It's not about even this life. It's not for this life that we live anyway. And Paul understood that. It's not about this life on this earth, here and now. It's not about me. The life that I live now is about eternity. It's about others while I'm here, and that others might also be with me in eternity with the Lord when he takes me there, when I'm with the Lord. And so it's not about me, but it's about living for Christ. And it's based on Christ's love for me. Because as I said, we can now try to say, oh, okay, we spoke about selflessness. I'm going to go home and grit my teeth. Or I'm going to be really selfless this next 2 weeks. But after that, I'll forget about it. But for 2 weeks, I'm going to try to be selfless. But it's not about that. It's not about what you do in the next 2 weeks. This is about what we do with the rest of our lives. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about living a life of love. And this is telling us is that if we can grab a hold of something that Christ did on the cross, even as the Apostle Paul did, is that this life of love, and as a part of that, this selfless life, it's not pie in the sky when you die stuff. This is in the here and now, in this body, in this life, in the here and now, we can actually learn and to live a selfless life. Every one of us, every one of us, when we die, and if the Lord doesn't come back first, can have people stand here and say, not because they say nice things at a funeral, they say nice things about everyone at a funeral, but with a sincerity and say, when they're talking about you, and say, this person had a selfless life. They lived a selfless life. They didn't live for their own selves. They weren't interested in their own comforts, their own, all the things that they needed or wanted for themselves. They weren't interested in that. They were interested in other people. Their heart was for other people. People can say that about you. And even if you're 99 here this morning, still not too late, because God can do that in us. So how do we do that, this selfless life? Well, we've got to understand is that we've got to grab a hold of the cross. Being a Christian comes down to the cross. The cross is far more than your salvation, far more than healing for our body. It's far more than that. It guarantees our eternal position in God. Of course it does. It makes sure that we are at peace with God because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed, that we can stand before God and not be standing in front of him in sin, but we stand in the holiness and the righteousness that Christ has given us on the cross by his death, by his blood. But it's more than that. It's not only just your eternal life. It actually affects us every single day in this life, every single day. It's how we live our life. Paul got a hold of it and said, well, because of the cross, it's not about me now. It's not about my own happiness. It's not about my own security or my own comfort. It's not about that. Because at the end of the day, it's all about the Lord. And I've already made it. My eternal life is secure now. And if you don't have to live for yourself anymore. All of the stuff that you needed for this life, you have that now. You have that in Christ. You have it already. Everything that we need, everything physically, spiritually, emotionally, everything, Peter tells us, everything pertaining to life and godliness is found in Jesus Christ. I've already got all of that, so there's nothing more for me to have gained in my life. I don't need anything else in my life. I've got everything that I need. And yet, we don't live like that, do we? We're all, oh, I need this. Oh, you've got that. I haven't. I want it. We've got to grab a hold of the cross because we've got that mindset. It tells us in Colossians they have the same mindset, or Philippians, it tells us Philippians, it says about Philippians 2 verse 5 where it says about having the same attitude that Christ had. He came, he already had everything. He laid it all aside anyway, came and died for us, and he lived in his life on this earth purely for the purpose of making sure every one of us could be in eternity with him. Well, we've already got it now. We've got what we need for life. You might not agree with, oh, but I can't pay this bill, or, oh, I'm going through a hard time, but, okay, fine. But the reality is, the bottom line is, you've got it. You've got it. You've got everything that you need for life and godliness. You've got it. You've got Christ. You've got eternal life. So the life that I live here now, It's not about me trying to add to myself anymore. Got to add this, got to add that, got to get this, got to do that. It's not relevant anymore. You've got it already. It's because of the Christ. So I'm already satisfied. So I can be dead to myself and now I can live my life for others because I've got it. There's so many people who don't get it. And they haven't got Christ. They haven't got salvation. And we're trying to add more to ourselves when we've already got it all in Christ. Paul got to understood that. He grabbed a hold of the cross. And therefore it was easy for him to live a selfless life. He says, look, I'm not perfect in my day-to-day life. Paul said that. He said, not that I've already attained all this. I've still got struggles and things along the way. But his eyes are fixed upon the Lord. They're fixed upon the salvation that he has. And everything else in this life, he can live it for the cause of the gospel and to touch the lives of others. And we can do that. If we've understand that we got it, then we can do that. But if you don't get that you got it, you're not going to do it. Maybe for 2 weeks you'll go home and be selfless. For a couple of weeks, be really good. Isn't that really good? And then, but we get back to our habits and we've got to grab a hold of something in our lives. Ephesians 4:22 tells us this. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. Our old self is selfish. Before you knew Christ, you were selfish. Like it or not, you might have been a nice person. You might have been a loving person. You might have been a caring person. But fundamentally, like it or not, we're all selfish. There's a selfishness in the heart. It's a part that entered in right at the garden. When sin entered in, selfishness entered in. Because what was it all about anyway? It was desiring to get something. Oh, we get the knowledge of good and evil, and can eat off the tree of life, and it's about getting this knowledge of good and evil. It's wanting to get something for me. It's all started with me, didn't it? That's when sin started. That's all started with trying to get something right from the very beginning. So that old self, it says you're told to put it off, and we can't put it off, because at the end of the day, we have everything that we need in Christ. It says you're told to put that off. Don't pick it up again. When you became a Christian, our old self, you come to Jesus on the cross, and here I am. I come before Christ. And he says, when I put Christ in my life, all the junk, all my old self, it gets over here. It's taken off. And we were taught to do that. But what we can tend to do, is to pick all that up again. Thank you, Lord, that I'm saved. And then pick up all this old life and then run around being selfish again. It just doesn't gel, but we can do that. It says, put that off. It says, because that's got selfishness ingrained into it. It's a part of it. The other verses, it won't come up on your screen, but it says to be made new in the attitude of your mind. Something changes the way you think. Because, well, how we think affects how we behave. If you want to see what someone's thinking, look at what they're doing, and you'll see that straight away. He's got a priority in their life. Let's see how they behave. Whatever. But with the Pharisees, they put on a good show, but again, something wrong within their heart. But ultimately, we want a new attitude. Verse 24, it says, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's the old self we put off, and we put on a new self. There's a new self. There's actually a new you. When you became a Christian, the Bible says we are a new creation. And so even that selfish tendency that's in our heart, that we sometimes will allow that to rise out. Really, that's unnatural to you now. It's actually against a Christian's nature to be selfish. When you're selfish, you're actually going against who you really are. And how can I live a selfless life? I just have to be who I am. I don't have to try to be anymore, go home and for 2 weeks let's try to be a little bit more selfless. It doesn't work. But if we can understand that actually who I am now because of Christ is I am actually a selfless person, because all that was me, the selfishness of me was all taken off, and I've put on the new me, which is made in the image of Christ, who was the sinless one, the selfless one, who went to the cross. I've actually got that nature of Christ within me. It's actually natural for each and every one of us that follows Jesus Christ to be selfless. It's unnatural when you're selfish. You're actually going against the grain. It's not actually you like that. You're not like that. You're actually a selfless person. Christ has made you so. He's made you so. But the trouble is we don't understand that. And we think, oh no, well, we pick up what we've put off. We try to put that on. It doesn't fit us really well. It doesn't suit us anymore. And we're selfish every now and again. But we're not like that anymore. We don't live for this life anymore. We can live a selfless life because it's not about us. We have everything is found in Christ. And all the stuff about being selfish, we put that off. It says you put it off. Put it off. And put on the new self created to be like God. Jesus is perfectly selfless, and we can be selfless people. In fact, not only can, you are a selfless person. Look at the person next to you. Just look at them. You're looking at a selfless person. If they love Jesus Christ, they're selfless. Now, they might not know that as yet, but my prayer is that by the end of the day, we're going to understand something. Hang on a minute. When I'm selfish, I'm not being me. That's not right. I'm picking up something that was put off, and I'm throwing something on. We don't have to struggle to be selfless, because we are selfless. Christ has made us to be selfless. Colossians 3:10 says it this way. It says, and have put on the new self. So you put on a new self. There's a new you when you became a Christian. It's not about just your salvation, not just about healing for your body, but it's the new person that lives every day, who can live the life of love because of who you are in Christ. The reason why we don't do that is because we don't know who we are in Christ, or we forget who we are in Christ. And we end up going back into the world and being worldly and putting on our old self. It's not really me, but I'll stick it on again, and I want myself to be satisfied and you to fulfill my needs. And yeah, I need it. Yeah, bring it on. It's not who I am. Put all that off. It's gone. Put on the new self, which has been renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. So you fundamentally now are not this selfish person. Before Christ, you were fundamentally selfish because sin entered in right from the beginning about, I want to eat off that tree. Yeah, good on you. You know, Eve gets the apple and gives it to Adam, and you eat this, you're going to know all this stuff. Oh, I'm going to get something. I'm going to get some knowledge. Okay, it's all about me. The sinful act was all about self-centeredness. We've had all sin dealt with on the cross. It's all gone. It's no longer you. It's no longer our nature. We're not like that anymore. And so there's a new self, and that very self that is within us, who we really are, is in the knowledge of Christ, in the image of Christ, who died upon the cross for us. And so to be selfless, when God asks us to live that kind of life, he's not saying, now I want you to go home and hold your breath and pray harder and try to be selfless. He says, just be who you are. That's who you are. That's who I've made you now, that you've been made alive in Christ. It's a part of who you are. It's unnatural to be selfish. You've actually been made to be selfless, and you're in the image of the selfless Christ. And the challenge for us then is to let that shine out, not to keep picking up this old self and shoving it on ourselves every now and again. Oh, I'm feeling a little bit down. I'm going to get a bit selfish today. And I pick up this thing and I put it on myself and have a little pity party. It's all about me. It's not about that. It's about, I've got everything I need for you. You know, that scripture that even Pastor John read about in Romans 8, we spoke about no fear. Says there's nothing in heaven and earth that can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. It doesn't matter even how we feel. Our feelings cannot separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So we've got to change the attitude of our mind and begin to think, Lord, you've actually given me a new self. It's who I am, is to have a selfless life, and we can do that. And it says that it's been renewed in the knowledge. It's something about this knowledge, and that's why we need to be taught. That's why we need to read the scripture. There's something about our mind and this knowledge, and that knowledge is about this love of God that's upon our life. When we know how much God loves us, when we know that at the end of the day, I've got it. I've got what I need. I have everything for life and godliness is found in Jesus Christ. I've got it. What I had to achieve in this life, I've got it now. I've got it. I've got Christ. Mission accomplished. What am I going to do now? Well, I'm living a life in this body now. So I sacrifice for the kingdom and I live my life for others. That's all I have to do now. And I can do that now because I've got it, and other people don't have it. And so I'm able to do it. But it's about the knowledge of being renewed in knowledge in the image of his creator. And it's about knowing the love of God. That's why we're talking about this radical love. We really understand how much God loves us. We understand who we are in Christ. this life of love that we're talking about, it's not something God says, yeah, live a life of love if you can. Now, give it a whirl, guys, have a try, have a bash at it, do the best you can and I'll pat you on the head in eternity. Nothing like that. It's saying, live a life of love. You can live a selfless love. And I'm not asking you to do anything you can't do because I've actually given that capacity to you. It's actually who you are now anyway. You are a loving person. You are a selfless person because of Jesus Christ. It's who we are in Him. And it really is about who we are in Christ. And so when we say it's you know, being selfless, it's not about me. Well, in a way, it is about me because who I am now, it's not about who I was over here. Who I am now is who I am in Christ. And it's that, and that causes me to love, and it causes me to live a selfless life. And so for every one of us, when we die, I trust that when it's your funeral comes, whenever that is, if it's however many years away it is, people will say, yeah, this is a selfless person. Because they, something twigged, a light came on. Not because they heard a sermon and felt guilty for a couple of weeks, but something came on, a light came on in my own heart, a revelation came on. Yeah, actually, I can live that selfless life. I can live a life of love because of who I am in Christ. Because of what Christ has done for me, I don't have to live my life for me. I don't have to live like a worldly person who just wants their own happiness and satisfaction from party to party to get more stuff and to do all these things, to pamper themselves. I don't have to live like that. I've got everything. All I need to do now is live for the kingdom and to love others. That's all I need to do. There's a wonderful passage of scripture in John 15:13. And Jesus, obviously, he not only came to model that life, because it would be unfair, wouldn't it, if Jesus came and gave us an example and said, guys, I want you to be like this. And we go, oh, okay, Lord, we want to be like this. And then we spend the rest of our life struggling to do it. I think that would be very unfair. And God's not unfair, God. Jesus is not unfair to us. When he tells us to live a life of love, just as he laid down his life, he doesn't tell us that we would struggle and strive like a Pharisee does, trying to do everything on the outside, but nothing happening really on the inside. But he gives us the model of a selfless life and then gives us the ability of doing it by giving us his very nature, his life. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And that really is the test of loving. If we really are a loving person, is to what extent are we prepared to lay our life down? I'm not saying about dying for people. I trust that none of us are ever put in the situation where you'd have to, give your life for somebody else. I mean, that would be a horrible situation to be in. But if you knew that you've got it anyway, that you had everything, then you could do that. There's a story that I remember a long time ago. I heard of a pastor, they had an elderly pastor that came to the church, and the pastor was speaking there, and he was telling the story about there was two sons that were out swimming, and they got in trouble. And the father was there on the beach, and two boys are drowning. One's his son, and he was a pastor. His son was saved, loved the Lord. His best friend wasn't a Christian. Anyway, he's there on the beach, and they're there, and they're both caught, ripped out, and they're getting caught out, separated, and they're drowning. Father's a strong swimmer. These two kids are young kids. Immediately, he's there with the two kids, and they're swept right out. He can only go for one of those kids. So he jumps in to the water. He swims out, watches his son drowns. He gets the other kid, comes back, and brings that child in. Now, he comes to a church, and he's relaying this story. In fact, the pastor of the church, the senior minister of the church, was actually telling the story about what happened and relaying this story, and said, look, so he relayed that there was this older guy, that older pastor that was visiting the church, the young pastor was there relating the story of what happened. At the end of the service, some of the youth came up and said, oh, look, that's a great story, but you know, that we know that's just an illustration. We know that's not true. And he says, no, this is a true story. It's just really happened that this pastor, his own son drowned, and he went and saved this unsaved kid and dragged him in. And they said, well, how do you know that's true? And the young pastor said, well, I know that was true because I was the young boy that got saved. And so his own pastor father let the son drown, who was a born-again Christian, to save the unbelieving son. And he obviously got saved, and now he became the pastor of this church where the story was being relayed. But that father, he actually made that sacrifice of even his own son, excuse me, because he knew where his son was going. He knew he had everything in life. He had the Lord. But this young kid didn't know the Lord. He didn't know God. And so he let that his own son drown, that he would, because he knew where this son would go. But this other child, if he'd gone, he also knew where he would go. And so he gave everything in that. That's the kind of selfless life. If you know that you've got everything in life, you got it all, you really have. If we can understand we've really got it all, then we can live a selfless life. But if you don't understand what Christ has given you, if you don't understand the significance of the cross, you're always going to be grasping. You're always going to say, oh, I'm lacking something. I need to do this. I need to get a wife. I need to get a husband. I need to get a house. I need to get another car. I need to get more money. I need. If you realize we've got it all in Christ, you can put everything in perspective and we can live a selfless kind of life. Greater love than this is the no man that he would give his life for others. So I just want to read you this little story. There's something about being selfless is contagious. If you want to have a wife that is selfless, be a selfless husband. If you want a spouse that is selfless to you, you be selfless to them. If you want to have people that are going to bless you, well then you've got to bless them. You be selfless in yourself. Now don't do it for the sake of that they might bless you, otherwise it's selfish. But if you want people are going to be selfless to you, it's very contagious when it happens. This is a true story. Happened in a World War II Japanese prison camp. It's from the book The Valley of the Quiet. And it's a story about a guy called Agnes McGilvray. Angus. I don't think he invented the Angus burger. His name was Angus McGilvray. Angus was a Scottish pioneer in one of the camps filled with Americans, Australians and Britons who helped build the infamous bridge over the River Kwai. We've all heard about the bridge over the River Kwai. The camp had become an ugly situation. A dog-eat-dog mentality had set in. Allies would literally steal from each other and cheat each other. Men would sleep on their packs and yet have them stolen from under their heads. Survival was everything. The law of the jungle prevailed until the news of Angus McGilvray's death spread throughout the camp. Rumors spread in the wake of his death. No one could believe Angus had succumbed. He was strong, one of those who they'd expected to not to die. Actually, it was not the fact that he died that shocked the men, but the reason he died. Finally, they pieced together the true story. So you got this big burly guy there. They're all in this prison camp, Japanese-run prison camp. And this guy dies. They thought if anyone was going to survive the war, this guy would. He died. But then they find out why he died. The Scottish soldiers took their buddy system very seriously. Their buddy was called their mucker. And these Argyles, which is the Scottish soldiers, believed that it was literally up to each of them to make sure that their mucker survived. Angus's mucker, though, was dying, and everyone had given up on him. Of course, everyone except Angus. He made up his mind that his friend would not die. Someone had stolen his mucker's blanket, so Angus gave him his own, telling his mucker that he had just come across an extra one. Likewise, every mealtime, Angus again stating he was able to get extra food. Angus was going to do anything and everything to see that his buddy got what he needed to recover. But as Angus mucker began to recover, Angus collapsed, slumped over, and died. The doctors discovered that he died of starvation complicated by exhaustion. He'd been given his own food and shelter. He'd been giving everything that he had, even his own life. The ramification of his acts of love and unselfishness had started an impact on the compound. It quotes the scripture, greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. As word circulated for the reason for Angus McGilvray's death, the feel of the camp began to change. Suddenly men began to focus on their mates, their friends and humanity, of living beyond survival, of giving oneself away. They began to pool their talents. One was a violin maker, another an orchestra leader, another a cabinet maker, another a professor. Soon the camp had an orchestra full of homemade instruments and a church called the Church Without Walls that was so powerful, so compelling, that even Japanese guards attended. The man began a university, a hospital, a library system. The place was transformed, an all but smothered love revived, all because one man, Angus, gave all that he had for his friend. For many of these men, this turnaround meant survival. What happened is an awesome illustration of what actually happens when someone gives their life away. A very powerful and moving story. But it is contagious. If you live a selfless life, you'll find that it is contagious. It begins to rub off on people around you. You want to have that in your own family. You want to have it in your own life. Then begin to be selfless. And you find that as we are selfless, if we will learn who we are, that God has actually given us that capacity to be selfless, we'll find that it actually begins to spread around. In terms of the church, you know, if you're selfless to others, you'll find that it starts, you might notice that others start to become a little more selfless too. And I encourage every one of us to grab a hold of this. But ultimately, it's knowing who we are in Christ. If you want to live that life of love, it all comes back down to the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's given you the ability to live that life. And why we struggle is we lack the knowledge. We lack that knowledge of that love. We know that we are completely loved of God, that we are secure in His love, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, that we've really got everything that you need in life. You've got everything that you need in life, everything that you need pertaining to life and godliness, it tells us in Peter. We've got everything that we need. If we grab a hold of that, then it's easy to give my life away then, isn't it? But if I feel that I'm lacking, that I'm missing out, then I'm going to live my life trying to get the very thing that I think I'm lacking. I'm going to live my life trying to fill in all of the little gaps, fill in all the little holes, fill in the things that I'm missing, and I'll live my life in that way, miss out on living for other people. But if I know that, God, you're filled in every gap, Lord, that everything that I might be lacking, Lord, in my life, Lord, that you're there, Lord, that you're my healer, you're my savior, you're my friend, you're my husband, you're my father, you're my everything, whatever it happens to be in my life, Lord, you fill in all of those things. And Lord, I have everything that this life really needs to accomplish. I have Christ. I have eternal life. Therefore, I can give my life away. I've got nothing to lose. If we can grab a hold of it, I've got nothing to lose in being selfless. The person who I was and all the sin and rubbish, well, that's all gone and I'm not going to pick all that up again anyway. I've taken Christ on me and I'm a new person, and who I am now, I'm allowing Christ to come out of me more and more, and I'm learning that. Still not there, but I have that capacity within me because Christ is within me. You have that capacity with each and every one of us. And so my prayer is today that we'll have a revelation of the knowledge of the love of God, that we will be selfless. Don't go home and just try to do something selfless on the outside. Stand on what's happened on the inside. Lord, I'm created in Christ. Lord, I'm a new person. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And we can live that life of love. It's not something way up the air. Oh, gee, that's really nice. I'd love to do that. No, it's the reality. The life that I live now in this body, in the here and now, I can do that. So let's pray. I want to pray for us this morning. Pray for more of that revelation of the love of God in our lives. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just come before you now. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we know, Lord, that all the issues of life, Lord, have flow out of the cross. Lord, everything that we need, Lord, has been answered in the cross. Lord, every lack in our life has been fulfilled in the cross. So we thank you, Lord, that we truly do lack for nothing. Lord, that we have everything pertaining to life and godliness, and it's found in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, Lord, that the purpose of this life, Lord, that once we came into your kingdom, Lord, in terms of our own self, Lord, was accomplished, Lord. It was all done. Everything that we needed, Lord, was done when we came to Christ. And Father, I pray, Lord, as people now, Lord, that we continue, Lord, to live a selfless life, Father. Lord, knowing that we can do that, Lord. We've already got it, Lord. We got you. And Lord, we've got nothing to lose now. Lord, we've already got it, so I can choose to live my life for others. Lord, I can show loving acts, Lord. I can put myself out, Lord. I can be compassionate, Father. Lord, I can go that extra mile, Lord. I can give of myself, Father, because of what you've done for me, Lord, for who I am, Lord. Not even who I'm trying to be, but Lord, who you've made me to be, Lord, as a new creature, a new person. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we stand before all these selfless people today, Lord. Lord, who are selfless because Christ has made them so. Lord, that are loving, Lord, because we have the very nature. Your nature, Lord, is within us, Lord. And I thank you, Father. And Lord, I pray, Lord, the manifestation of that, the outworking of that is going to grow all the more, Lord, that we'll see that selflessness, Father. But Lord, that we will determine this day, Lord, I'm going to live who I really am. Lord, is that one who lives that life of love, Lord. I don't have to keep adding to myself. Lord, I got it all in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to live our life for others. And Lord, even as Jesus laid his life down, Lord, he said, greater love, there's no man. Father, let us live the greater love life. Lord, let us live a life of greater love. Lord, to lay our lives down for one another, Lord, to lay our lives down, Lord, for those that are lost, Lord, that we're not running off after ourselves, Lord, that we will see, Lord, there's people who don't know Jesus Christ. Lord, that they need to be rescued, Lord. They haven't found it, Lord. We got it, they don't get it. So, Father, help us to have that heart, Lord, to understand that's already within us, Father. Lord, I pray for that revelation today. Lord, that you continue to speak to us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we have that selflessness contained within us because of Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to outwork that every day, Lord, to release that. Lord, to be the people that you've already made us to be, Lord, that you've already called us to be, the Lord, who we already really are. So, Father, I just thank you this day. Lord, if there's anyone that is here today, Lord, that has given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, or they haven't asked you into their life, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they'll come into your kingdom this day. Father, that they will get it. Lord, that they will grab a hold of the whole reason why they live, Lord. They give the whole journey of life, Lord, is about finding Christ. And, Lord, they'll understand that, Lord, to coming to know you, Father. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone that doesn't know you today, Lord, that they will cry out to you and come forward and say, yes, I need to find Jesus today. Yes, I want to find that for myself this day. Lord, I need to find Jesus in my life. Lord, I pray for that. Lord, I pray that you continue to touch every heart. Lord, let us live a selfless life. Father, let us not go through selfish times or selfish stages. But Father, let's be who we are, a selfless people, Lord, who are loved of God, Lord, and filled with your love. Father, I pray that now in Jesus' name.